Hello and welcome to the official podcast of the Irish Association of Speech and Language Therapists, the IASLT, in conversation. Today we are talking to Deirdre Kidney, winner of the award for Best SLT Support and Mentor. Deirdre was nominated for her respect and dedication, not only to the patients, but to the profession. She was described as a trailblazer for SLTs in Ireland and continues to provide guidance and mentorship to senior SLT colleagues, young therapists, student SLTs, as well as the wider MDT and medical team. Congratulations, Deirdre, on your recent IASLT award, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here.
Great. So tell us a bit about your background and how you have come to your current position.
Sure. So, by way of background, I left college in the late 90s and took a job in Springfield Junior National School in Tallaght. And stayed there for a while and enjoyed it completely. But really, I always knew that I wanted to work with adults. And so when the opportunity came up for a job in Beaumont, I took that and spent many happy years there. And then moved over to St. Vincent's and St. Michael's Hospital in Dunleary and in Elm Park in Dublin 4. And I think even throughout my college life, I had a placement in the Mater, in Ballantyre for Children, and in the CRC, as well as others. And maybe you get inspired to work with other colleagues in either a supervision or a mentorship way by your own experiences. So I can even remember things that were said to me as a young therapist or as a student that I still carry with me. And they've made such an impact on the way you work, and the longevity of those relationships really has an impact on how you proceed with your career on many occasions. And I obviously have been through supervision and mentorship brilliantly in Tallaght, Beaumont, and Vincent's and St. Michael's. And I guess I just see it as a very important way of how we operate as therapists within our organization. So I guess it started really when you go back that far into to the late 90s, when I was released to the world as a speech therapist.
And is that kind of what inspired you to work with students then, kind of your own experience?
Well, I was very lucky because everywhere I worked, we've had a really good culture of taking students, and I literally walked into it, you know, without giving it much thought. But the more you do it, the more rewarding it gets. I'm convinced of that. And that's how, so from very early on as a therapist, we always took students. We always were involved in teaching, education and support of each other. And I guess then, because it just becomes part of how you operate, it can become something that you do all the time. And that's why when, you know, sometimes when students are coming out to us, or we've had some master's students and undergrads, and I always put my hand up, because even though you sort of blindly do it in the moment that you're asked, and it is work, it's incredibly rewarding, I think, to be working with people and helping them on in any way that you can.
Yeah. And what advice would you give to maybe other therapists then who are considering of taking on a student, or maybe you haven't done it before?
Yeah, I would very much encourage it. It is so rewarding, the enthusiasm and energy, a new sense of thought that these students and on occasions senior or staff grade therapists bring, the additional insight. And I remember a long time ago listening to a podcast from a clinical psychologist called Reed Wilson, and he works in the States in Chapel Hill, and he talks about a little bit about succession and about kind of where you feel you are in your career. And this always stuck with me, because he said, if you get to the point in your career where you're threatened by the younger, you know, colleagues coming up your way and having these thoughts, you know, having these kind of ideas and enthusiasm, if you feel threatened by that, then you're stuck. the only way to get unstuck or never to get stuck is to work with them, because they'll bring things to you that, and you'll bring things to them. And it's kind of where energy and new thought meets experience. So I would say very much, if I were to think about, giving advice to somebody who might take students, definitely go for it. Be aware it is a time commitment, I think, but there's many ways we can work around that, in terms of bringing them on into your day, no matter how fast the day may be, that they can just jump on board and see what it's really like, from start to finish. Like, we sometimes, in the hospitals that I work in, we sometimes do a triage first thing in the morning. Well, actually, we always do a triage first thing in the morning. And I say to the students, just look and learn, that you're not going to, it's not about a patient sort of face to face. This is just about how we operate on a day-to-day basis. And it gives them that real flavor of what the day, what really kind of our organization looks like from the inside out. So the advice would be, yeah, definitely give taking students or working with staff grades, or working with the master's students, or as you move on in your career, I'm obviously in it a while, and you have this amazing opportunity to work with senior staff as well, who might be a bit more new to a senior role, and you can be a mentor to them, which is a different kind of relationship. That's not a supervision, that's a mentor relationship. I think, yeah, be aware that it takes time, but be aware that the rewards are enormous. Just seeing people catch on, and the younger students rising like phoenixes and just being able for it, is so fantastic. There is a little difference, I think, between mentorship and supervision. So supervision, the supervising therapist has a kind of a responsibility. There's a governance there. There's an accountability, and therefore, what you really want to do in that kind of role is what the three I's is: impact, instruct, and influence. So you need those three. You need to be able to impact what the person's doing. You need to be giving them clear communication on how to do it, and influence their thoughts, their sort of how they're planning therapy, how they're engaging with families. Mentorship is different. Mentorship is where you don't have that authority, and that's a really interesting one, because I've had a few experiences with mentorship where maybe the mentee doesn't necessarily agree with the advice, and that's okay. That's where you let the mentee, do what they want to, and then you reconvene and you see how things went. Do you know what I mean? There's a kind of a slightly loose kind of a to and fro in that relationship, which is very interesting. It's more of a kind of senior colleague, take on it. So I mean, I remember working with Ian Callan, who's our just recently retired director of clinical audit in St. Vincent's University, and he was so inspiring and encouraging. He was clearly a mentor, but he did it with such grace. So he always just left you with food for thought. He always just gently challenged your behaviours with a mixture of experience and humour. And he was a wonderful mentor. I hope I think he knew he was at the end, but he would just bring you along without, confrontation, instruction. He would just bring you along with a kind of exchange of thoughts, and that in itself is a skill, maybe, of a really good mentor. So yeah, so that's does that answer that one?
Yeah, I think so. I suppose you talked a lot about the advantages of taking on either a student or a mentee. Are there kind of challenges, and maybe what could be done if there are those challenges present?
Yes, I think the two challenges that present for guidance and mentorship are time. You need to be ready to give people time, a lot of time. I was listening to a podcast on mentorship there last week, and he was saying, whatever time you think it's going to take longer. And you need to be able to see your mentees or your students' strengths. Always start off on a positive note. Always be empathic with regard to how the mentee or the student or the more junior therapist is feeling. So the challenges would be, I think time is the big one. And then I think communication is the second. So you need to be able to communicate with them in a clear way, but not in a way that is leaning more towards a critical approach to people. I think that doesn't do them any good. And that brings me back to my Beaumont days, where I had staff in Beaumont Hospital when I just walked in the door, hadn't a clue about adult care. Really, I'd done a short placement in the matter, and I had people around me who believed in me more than me. And then you begin to believe in yourself. And I honestly think it works. Like, if you can see the talent in your young people, in your younger therapists, you can harness it and bring it out. It does not flourish under a critical eye. I'm convinced of it. It flourishes under enthusiasm. So that'd be the two, that communication, I suppose, then. Yeah, that's just to say that if you're giving people advice, I mean, I've learned from so many people that if you give somebody advice whereby you want them to change something, it doesn't have to be packaged in a critical, you got it wrong, I know how to do it right way. I really believe that. And there was a mentorship short course that I did recently by a UK company who are actually not in healthcare. They are in private equity, and Ed Johnson is the managing director of Pushford. And what he said was, getting to know your mentor is the most important thing. And I think that's true. If you don't know what they want to do, or how they want to learn, or how they function best, it's very hard to engage with them. And on the vein of that as well, like, I've actually, because there's a lot of stuff on HSE land, but I've actually gone to and listen to a few podcasts and talks from private industry, because sometimes if you just get out of your lane a little bit, you get a few more views on harnessing talent. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to harness talent and raise people up so that they can kind of, well, you know, really, that they can take over one day, because that's what they're going to do. So they may as well do it with support and advice. Do you know what I mean? And good mentorship.
It sounds like you're really dedicated to, making sure you're working in a more constructive way rather than, and building up a young therapist or a student while kind of increasing their confidence.
Definitely.
It's great to hear you're so enthusiastic, and it's a great idea to maybe, as you said, like look outside of HSE land or maybe the traditional places that we might find our help. So that's amazing.
Yeah, I do think so. I think we have a lot to learn from I think we have a lot to learn from the private industry in terms of these kinds of things. And I actually did a master's in management, and I didn't end up going into management. I stayed in clinical practice, but it did me a lot of good. I think it just stretches your mind in a different direction. You know, I think it's I think you can bring it to your job no matter what you do.
And even often, I think some of what you were saying, we're often thinking about the patients in that way and how we can kind of best meet their needs and supporting them. And sometimes that doesn't translate to young people. So it sounds to me that that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to, build up the young therapist in the same way that we build up the patients.
Exactly. And then, yeah, because quite often oh yes, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. You have to foster self-belief, and not to fake it, okay? If there's things that need to be changed, fine. Or if things that are, you know, gosh, I'm not too sure I go down that route. Do you know what I mean? That's fine. But I think you have to create people believing in themselves, and then they actually excel at what they do. And I think that's what happened to me. Sorry, that says self-aggrandizing. I definitely got lifted up beyond my self-belief in a job very early on, and I think that stood to me for life. And I'd love to do that for all the younger therapists that I'm involved with, because you step into your career then with a sense of accomplishment, and the rest can be learnt. You know, it's learning, really.
And it's great that you had such a good experience and then that you're carrying that on for the next people that are coming up, and hopefully it'll only increase and accelerate, I
Yeah,
guess.
because by the time I arrived in Vincent's, I sort of had a good bit of supervision under my belt, so I could kind of, you know, take that on. But I have also had some excellent, inspiring mentors, strong leaders in Vincent's, and it you see it, and you learn from them. You learn up as well as what you're, passing down. It's like when you reflect on it now. See, I don't think people know that they're very good supervisors. I think sometimes people just do it, and then it takes years to realize, gosh, I can see it in Vincent's. I don't even know if they know that they're doing it so well, but they are. And that's great to see. It's kind of it makes the process very organic, really.
So, what do you makes a good mentor?
Well, yes, actually, such a good question. And I because I sort of I sort I often think about this. I think the first thing is spot the potential in the patients. So, like, for example, I have two third year students with me who've just finished up today. Brilliant potential, lots to learn, but I can see it in them. And even if it's like resilience and attitude and willingness to learn, that can often be the magic mix. So spotting the potential, what's good with the people that we're working with? Because there's no merit, I feel, in starting with the person and then coming out and kind of saying, oh, this is the seven things that we did, we wouldn't do that again. Fine, you're gonna have to highlight them. Do you know what I mean? But it's at a point at which it can be woven into developing people well. I think you always have to act as a resource. So, always being ready to kind of think of something and then giving it over, which is a lovely thing. When somebody says, what do you think? And you have a little think about it, and then you give it over and then you hand it away. You're just being a resource to other people, which is really a very honorable place to be. I think you have to display tolerance and and patience, because it isn't easy when you're mentoring somebody and, they're going in a different direction than you want them to. Or if, maybe people aren't quite following the advice that you've given them in a supervision relationship. So I think you just need tolerance and handle that in a way that's not accusatory, but in a sensible, constructive way. And I really think that can be done. The next one was, I think you need to see the bigger picture. So as a mentor, when somebody comes to you in a crisis and this happens, and gosh, look what I've done, or look what we've done, or look what's happened. And then I think your job is to be a bit more like removed from the situation and say, okay, hold on now. This incident occurred. Let's handle it now. And because I often find if people come to you for advice and they're very worried about something, they're holding themselves just as accountable as the rest of the organization is. Do you know what I mean? I've seen people like really worried about various things, and then but so the job is to kind of say, okay, let's do a helicopter view. We can manage what's happened today, and then we will progress, onwards and upwards. Every day we're still all learning. And then the final thing I was going to say about mentorship or, support is if you stay in your own lane, you miss creativity. So if you stay in your own lane, you don't get to hear those amazing learning points that your junior staff or those that you're supervising or mentoring are bringing to you. And that's the brilliance of mentorship. Like it is a process and a very honorable position to be in, but we've all still got lots to learn. And the minds of the people that are graduating next year and the year after, they're a resource for us to tap into as well. It's the synergy between the two that makes the journey so interesting. I think when you think you're the expert and I know it all, and you know what I mean, the other person doesn't, it gets a bit I don't know, it gets a bit one-sided. You want to hear what other people are thinking as well, and maybe, changing your view on certain things and moving along in that kind of a synergistic way. I think like that, and that brings us already to succession, doesn't it? Because, at this point in my career, I would like to, as we drive through our careers, it's important to look back and in the middle, beginning and end. As a young therapist, I've seen young people in our department who are maybe new seniors, and they're wonderful support to staff grades. And so I think as you want to really look back and hand the baton on to the next generation of therapists with pride, and not with the sense of, Oh my God, I'm so burdened by, having to teach, and I'm really busy and I don't have time for students, and I couldn't, like it's actually, it should be a part of the culture. And I think we as in a growing profession like ours, we need to hand down that baton with really a great sense of pride. And I mean, I always think about Isaac Newton's comment of that you can see more by standing on the shoulders of giants. And not that I consider any of us to be giants, but that we can see further if you're using the knowledge of the past, and then the person that you're, that is learning will actually see further than their predecessors saw. And that's a fantastic thought, isn't it? To be able to think we're on that journey kind of together. It's not all responsibility of the seniors or the clinical specialists or the managers or, the newly qualified seniors and the more mature ones. It's really all of us together kind of moving in this relationship, and in increasing number of SLTs. It's even more important with more students coming out in the next couple of years, I believe. Is that right? In the
Yes,
next
I think there's
four.
increased places in, in Ireland, which is great. It's well needed.
Oh, it's so needed. So I would say to people, it's so rewarding. These just incredible people come into you and they're loaded up with energy and enthusiasm. Do you know what I mean? And it makes you kind of think about what you're doing yourself. People looking at what you're doing makes you kind of go, is this goal practice is the best way forward? So I would strongly encourage people to opt for mentorship roles or supervision roles or any role that kind of brings on the our more junior or our next generation therapists.
And I've really enjoyed talking to you today, actually. Like, you're so passionate and you inject so much energy into the conversation and talking about, mentorship. And so I hope that really comes through because you're just so passionate. And thank you so
Oh, thank
much.
you so much.
Thank you for
Pleasure. Thank you
taking the time.
so much.
And
A huge
congratulations again on your award.
Thank you
So
so much. What an honor. Oh, my goodness.
to find out more about this year's awards, please go to our website, www.ieslt.ie, and you can listen back to our other podcasts by following our social media channels on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, or by searching ISLT in Conversation on Spotify.